See, this is the type of podcast you gotta have.
This is Legends of Sport.
Hi, this is Bob Miller.
This is Gary Payton.
Bill Walton here.
It just captivated everybody. Even the players, the same thing. It wasn't just the fans, but players on other teams was like, wow, right?
It's bringing the experience of getting to know athletes as well as I do over the years. You know, the good and the bad, because that's life. And we remember these iconic athletes for what they accomplished on the field or on the court or on the ice or wherever.
Be sure to check out Legends of Sport with Andrew D. Bernstein every Tuesday on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts.
Legends of Sport, Podcast One. Wow.
That's how we do it. That's how we do it.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. The trip's going to make me get on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, don't we, Drew?
We do.
We do. Drew's got some eggs in his system, and he's ready to rock.
Feeling better.
Good. There's questions about the ketogenic diet. This guy, Nick from Tokyo, is on the line. Probably hop to him. I got stuff to talk about, too. Nick, 31, Tokyo, Japan.
Get it on, guys.
Yeah. What time is it where you're at?
It's morning time. I'm actually walking my son to school in the rain.
Wow. Sounds romantic.
Yeah.
What's happening?
Yeah. Not much. I have a question, I guess, for Dr. Drew, but I'd love your input, too. Turned 31 this year, and all of a sudden, I started getting really fatigued, and then almost complete loss of libido.
Yeah.
And went to a doctor, got a bunch of blood tests. She said I had very low testosterone and put me on DHEA.
Okay.
And that worked out pretty good. And then she also said that I had hypothyroid, and that I have, like, early signs of Hashimoto's. So she gave me some medication, and that worked out pretty well. But she also gave me something called an IgG blood test for, like, latent allergies or, like, food intolerances. And apparently I'm allergic to, like, everything there is except, like, chickpeas and sweet potatoes and, like, meat. Except I have no symptoms of, like, any lactose intolerance or
I don't know what to do with that IgG test, but there are.
What's Hashimoto's?
Hashimoto's is an autoimmune attack.
Did you get that in the airport when you landed in Tokyo?
Yeah. How ironic is it that I got a Japanese disease?
Named after a Japanese guy, but it's the most common cause of hypothyroidism. It's an autoimmune attack on the thyroid gland, and it's associated with other autoimmune disorders. And I wonder if you're having any autoimmune attack on the testes too. You should see an endocrinologist, right?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I saw one endocrinologist, but I was thinking I should maybe get a second opinion from another one.
What did that one say? The one you saw?
Oh, the doctor I saw was an endocrinologist.
Okay. All right. I mean, the important thing is just you be thoroughly assessed by somebody who's thinking about all the different syndromes that can develop like this, because you also can develop, you know, parathyroid. Other glands can go out with the thyroid, too, so you want to keep an eye on that.
Okay. He attributed my low testosterone to working out too much. Is that a thing?
There is, if you're running too much, like excessive,
lifting heavy weights, running too hard, right?
Yes, like is there excessive aerobic activity, but not heavy lifting.
Okay.
What do you do? So something on a snowboard or something? What's going on with you?
Well, I'm actually, I work out a lot, so maybe about 2 hours, 3 hours a day in the morning.
What's up? What's wrong with your career? You're walking a kid to school, then you're hopping on the soul cycle for half a day. What happened to the career part of life?
Oh, well, the career's doing good. I'm actually a comedian here, a Japanese comedian.
What?
So it's all in Japanese.
This is fascinating.
Now, hold on. You're a comedian.
From here?
Well, yeah.
From here?
In Japan. So I'm a comedian. I'm from America. But I learned Japanese, and I and I have been doing comedy professionally here for about 7 years. So
But hold on, Nick. I'm fascinated with the idea that you've commanded the language sufficiently that you could be comedic, unless you're making fun of yourself for being an Americanized Japanese. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Are you making fun of yourself for your Americanisms, or are you new? Have you really?
I make fun of myself, and I make fun of Japan pretty bad too.
Okay.
But no, wait. We're not answering the question. Yeah. All right. Now, Gary will look on the ultra web and he will find Japanese female comedian circa later 80s here, like Hirsha Nokatani or something. I have no idea what her name is, but she would get up there like one of the pink lady chicks and go, in Japan, you know, in America, you have Playboy Centerfold. In Japan, we have Playboy Centerfold butt picture of Toyota truck. Mm-hmm. And everyone would start laughing. And she was a horrible comedian. But somebody just sort of fed her these jokes and thought this could be such a crazy novelty.
Yeah, it was a novelty act.
And she spoke in broken English. Now, Pink Lady didn't speak any English, but she was a stand-up, female stand-up Japanese comedian. Yes, I have no idea what her name. What's her name? You put your mic on, Gary. When we
didn't
hear
she date a prominent comic? I know who you're talking about. I'm trying to figure out how I got there last time. I thought she dated
Sam Kinison.
Thank you. All right, give me a moment.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know how. If you punch in 80s Japanese female stand up, this can't be too many names that pop up, are there?
It's confusing because of the Japanese aspect. It's bringing in all kinds of comic book stuff.
Oh, it's hentai.
Well, wait, but Nick.
Yeah.
If I were Japanese and I spoke it fluently and I spoke no English, I grew up in Japan and all I spoke was Japanese. Yeah. And you wanted to shift gears into speaking Japanese to me, would I be able to tell that you were American? Hold on. Do you see the way I phrase things, Drew?
Yeah.
See how I cut right to it?
Yes, yes.
We get to the truth.
Yes.
We'll find out via his answer. We'll find out if he's perfectly fluent or if there's an issue.
Let's see if he's listening.
Oh, yeah, I like seafood. That's my love line answer. We eat sushi. It's different here. Sorry, go ahead, Nick.
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty good at Japanese. I've been here for a long time.
Would I know?
Do you want me to speak into you Japanese?
Would
right
I
now?
Know? If I was Japanese and only spoke Japanese and I spoke to you in Japanese and that's all we spoke over the phone, would I know you weren't Japanese?
I'd say probably about after maybe 5 minutes, you'd kind of realize there are a couple
But in general, it's pretty good. So you go up and do stand up in all Japanese, no problema.
Yeah, and some TV shows too. I have like a couple regular ones too. So.
Are you Caucasian? Are you Japanese?
Yeah, I'm white.
He sounds like from Orange County. Wait, hold on a second. We have her. You got a clip of her from the Byron Allen?
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm Tomoyo Tsuki. I'm from Japan. One of you American people's favorite country? Hello? Favorite country?
What was happening here?
Okay, so some of you people are ticked off, okay? You think every Japanese are rich, huh? Yeah! That's not true. That's why nowadays it's lots of pressure being Japanese and being broke. It's almost like being a big black man and have small feet.
There's some Jew writing all these jokes to her, and she's parroting them.
Oh, my God.
It's good stuff, right?
Oh, Jesus.
Everyone was high on coke. So.
But what people forget is the 80s, Japan was buying all of America.
Right.
And everyone was freaked out. The evil Japanese.
Well, they didn't really think of it as evil, but they were.
Oh, think of the film. Think of the movies with the rising sun.
Yeah, right. Although, to be fair to me, I wasn't deep into commercial real estate at that stage of my life. Yeah. I was more like, hey, dipshit, go to my truck and get my level and come back. Yeah. That was more, a little more of my life.
Yeah.
My portfolio wasn't rounded out. Hey, Nick.
Yeah.
All right. So Drew doesn't know about the IgG allergy thing. Wow.
Okay.
It's crazy. You're a stand-up comedian who takes care of his kid and works out a lot. Eat your heart out, Doug Benson.
Yeah, life's pretty good right now, actually, besides the Hashimoto's stuff.
Are you able to make a good living doing stand-up?
I'm not like an insane superstar, but, you know, as much as a normal person makes, you know, like an office worker at this point, I hope to make even more, but...
How's your wife doing?
Good.
Your wife making good money?
She was the manager of, like, an insane superstar comedian here, so I met her in my company.
Uh-huh.
And, so she just takes care of the kids now, so she might, you know, want to do something like that in the future. She was also, like, an assistant producer for a really famous TV show here.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, she's pretty good at working.
Okay. Pretty interesting.
I like that. Wow. All right, Nick, it sounds like you're on the right track. Sounds like you're in the right place.
If I ever go to Japan, I want to see Nick.
You want to see him open up or do a stand-up?
Yeah, what a fascinating deal he's doing. And it's always somehow to me amusing to see the Caucasian guy speaking fluent Japanese with all the nuance.
Yeah,
made him speak to us a little bit. You'll see what I'm talking about.
Okay,
so yell at us in Japanese, Nick.
Ah, moshimoshi, Drew-san. Ohayou gozaimasu. Nick to moshimasu.
Not quite what I was looking for.
Small dick. That's all right. Hey, Nick, do one of your strong opening jokes in Japanese.
Strong opening joke. Okay. There's a thing called
not in English.
Like it's called an...
Hold on. You know my biggest problem whenever I want someone to do something I go, look, tell them, Adam and Dr. Drew jumped in the Mercedes and went to Disneyland. Say it in Hungarian. There we go. Adam, Dr. Drew, jumped Mercedes, Disneyland. And I'm like, wait a minute. That sounded like what I said. And like, because I always use all the names and stuff.
All the proper names. Right
it never works out the way I want it to work. So, Nick.
Dr. Drew wa benzo notte Disneyland ni kimashita.
Yeah.
That's
okay, Drew. That sounds fine? Good. Right. Thank you. Let me tell you about LifeLock. How much is your identity worth? Well, according to an online security education company, the going rate is $1,200 to hackers on the dark web. Like that's what it's worth to them for the hackers. That ain't cheap, man. In today's connected world, it just takes one weak link for criminals to get in. New LifeLock identity theft protection adds Norton Security to help protect against threats to your identity and your devices, stuff you can't see, some things you can't fix on your own. Look, you're out there. Your info's everywhere. All you got to do is turn on the news to realize how much of everyone's info is everywhere. You get LifeLock. It's like having a car and having insurance now. Great, convenient, fantastic car. All right, get some insurance. If you have a problem, their agents will work to fix it, but you won't have a problem because you have LifeLock, right, Drew?
No one can prevent or stop every cyber threat or prevent all identity theft or monitor transactions at all businesses, but new LifeLock with Norton Security is able to uncover threats you might otherwise miss. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use the promo code ADAM for an additional 10% off your first year. That is promo code ADAM for an additional 10% off.
Would you have any take on James Comey and his hard-hitting interview?
I thought he came off looking terrible. I thought he had kind of some high ground he could have sustained, but he came off whiny and
soft
and just weird. Reading everyone's mind, like I knew then he was thinking this and talking about people's hand. I mean, it was just the most bizarre nothing.
It's weird. He came across as a very considerate bitch. this bitch is running the FBI. Like, he came across as thoughtful and considerate and well-spoken. And as a matter of fact, you know what's kind of interesting? He came across as the antithesis of Trump, which is very well put together, words selected. I spoke to my wife. I speak to my wife a lot. I consider her. I respect her. I respect all this great stuff. But everything that came out the other end just was sort of whiny bitch and a perfect thing.
Yeah.
And Trump's exact opposite for many, which is I like him talking about jobs. I like him talking about taxes. I like all this talk. But everyone goes, he's so unpresidential. Right, and my thing is sort of like, Comey is incredibly put together, but I don't think anything's coming out the other end.
No, not only that, I kind of am learning how Trump works, and it seems to me there's going to be a legal problem for Comey. I think Trump's going to raise some legal flags. And a tweet came out recently where he pointed that out, you know, lie, guilty, you know, it's a crime, this is a crime, that's a crime. And I thought, oh, he's gonna take these people and wrap them into some sort of weird conspiracy and keep them busy, like being investigated themselves.
Well, it was just weird. It's like he's going, I went to Trump Tower. Well, it's also kind of funny because you have Stephanopoulos who's just sort of in his back pocket the whole time.
Yeah.
So he's like going, I went to Trump Tower. You know, I met him. You know, I noticed his tie was too long. It's always too long.
Yeah, why? And, why was it? It's such a weird.
That is so weird. Yeah. And then Stephanopoulos is like, after the bizarre meeting with Trump, then what? And it's like, well, wait a minute. It wasn't necessarily a bizarre meeting. It was his tie was too long. A bizarre meeting is, you know, he insists on having his masseuse work him, massage his oily, naked body while he talks about the Middle East or whatever it is, domestic issues. Like, it wasn't a bizarre meeting. You made it bizarre by saying his tie was too long. It's always too long.
And the other thing is,
these are weird, bitchy kind of comments to make for guys who ran the FBI.
And then it's like, well, he could be – we don't want anything to have gone on in Russia because he could be prone to blackmail. Have we not seen that he is immune to blackmail? They can say anything about him and he just moves on. Well, he can say he's urinating on prostitutes. All right, anyway, what's for lunch?
It's not an interview to say – I mean, you're not doing a job as a news correspondent. If you say to the person, can you tell me there is no connection – to Putin in Russia. No, I can't say that.
Right.
So you're saying there could be a connection. Ugh. I don't know, but there could be. Ugh. So you're saying it's possible? Ugh. Well, anything's possible. Ugh. Like, all right, that's – you can say that about Olga and Putin. You know, like it's a weird phraseology. And obviously, there's a way to say it where you're going, I know anything's possible.
Do you have any evidence?
Do you have any evidence? Yeah. Not what's your feeling? My feeling is he could be connected to Russia, but I don't know that he is. But he may not be. But it could be.
That's evidence. I did not think. I thought he really could have come off well if he'd kept his mouth shut. And he really came off poorly.
He wrote a book. Yeah. Is the times we're living. I pulled two clips. I want to play for you because one is the first one. Gary can put it down on my list on my thing because there's too many Lynch. Yeah, sorry. So when he's approached by Loretta Lynch, who's the attorney general, who's his boss, and says, hey, I'd like you to take this Clinton investigation and downgrade it to a matter or something, whatever it is, like stop calling it this and start calling it that. He didn't know what to make of that.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, well, so it's an interesting thing because here you are literally the head of the FBI. You don't know what to – so if I said stop calling it the Gambino crime family and start calling it the Gambino adoption service and I was an agent for the Gambino family, you wouldn't know what I was trying to do with that? Like don't call it a syndicate. Call it a party. Call it a lodge. What was he trying to do with that? I don't know. Like, I think you would know.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, especially someone at that level, I'm at no level. And if somebody approached me who said, I'd like you to start calling it this instead of that, and this seemed like quite a downgrade from that, I wouldn't be confused as to why they came to me. But now, let's just listen to Comey answer this question. And look, obviously he's lying. He's obviously just lying. He's lying here because no one is that stupid, especially guys who run the FBI.
Comey was a man in conflict. Was his boss, Attorney General Loretta Lynch, compromised by the public perception that she was too close to the Clinton camp? His first concern, when she told him to refer to the Clinton email controversy as a matter rather than an investigation.
Did you think she was doing that to protect Hillary Clinton?
I didn't know. It worried me. It gave me an uncomfortable feeling.
All right, he didn't know. Hey, Gary, tell me something I don't know. Tell me something about your life I don't know.
My uncle works in the automotive industry.
Okay. Let me think. Am I worried? Do I have an uncomfortable feeling? No. You want to know why? I don't know. I don't know. So I don't have any worried or uncomfortable. Like, his answer was, she told you to do this. Yeah, I don't. What you make of that? I don't know. I had a worried, uncomfortable feeling. Oh, well, maybe you did know. Maybe this thing that preceded the worried, uncomfortable feeling was something you knew about. Tell me a medical thing I don't know about, Drew.
Pheochromocytoma is associated with high blood pressure.
I'm not worried or uncomfortable. I don't have a feeling because I don't know. He didn't know.
Yeah.
But then he got worried and uncomfortable. So he's the head of the FBI.
Yeah.
And his superior comes to him and says, hey, man, downgrade this. What was she getting at? Don't know. Huh. I think you should know. I think, why is it that I could stop any, I could talk to any junior high school student and ask them what this meant, and I think they'd provide an answer.
Yeah.
Don't want to speculate? Just don't know. Hmm. One more time. Let's hear it. Just didn't know.
Because the Clinton.
He'll play it again. So, now, this is the ultimate stupider liar.
Yeah.
There's no way you rise to this and don't know what Loretta Lynch comes and tells you about, right? Don't know. And want to talk about horrible journalism. Stephanopoulos, you're supposed to go, you don't know? You didn't know what that meant? What'd you think that meant? What do you think she was getting at? Why would one do that? You ever think about what her motivation may have been? Let's explore it. Why would someone say that? What if she went the other direction? What if she said, I want you to indict the Clintons? Would you know what she was talking about then? All right, here it is, sir.
Did you think she was doing that to protect Hillary Clinton?
I didn't know.
What? There's no other reason. It's like saying, oh, you worked at the Subway. The guy wanted extra mustard. He asked for extra mustard. Do you think he liked mustard? Don't know. No, you didn't say. Just said extra mustard. There's only one answer, which is yes, they're trying to protect Hillary Clinton.
Of course.
But he doesn't know.
Yeah. Interesting.
Doesn't know, but...
It worried me. It gave me an uncomfortable feeling because the Clinton campaign had been trying to come up with other words to describe it.
All right. So he knew. Why was the Clinton campaign trying to come up with other words? Like,
why was she carrying the Clinton's campaign message to the head of the FBI?
Well, don't ask him. He didn't know. Yeah. He's just the head of the FBI who does not know what to make of this discreet meeting.
Wow.
Does not know how to feel about it, although he was worried and upset, but he didn't know how it felt.
That is
okay.
Crazy.
It's great journalism, too. Now, no follow-up questions to that. All right. Now, later on, I'm going to give you an example of him knowing things. Okay?
He knew what Trump was thinking?
Later on, Trump asked him to stay behind in the Oval Office and have a little sit-down with him, and he got some information, and then he did know. So he's got range. Go ahead, Gary.
He knows he's going to say something that others shouldn't hear.
That was my read, that it's so unusual that, first of all, it's unusual for the FBI director and the president to be alone at all, but to kick out the vice president of the United States and the attorney general, who I work for, so you could talk to me alone, something was up.
And what he wanted to talk about was Mike Flynn.
And that's when he asked me, said he hopes I can let it go.
And when he said that, you thought...
He's asking me to drop a criminal investigation of his now former national security advisor.
Direction.
I took it as a direction.
All right, so he knows. Now when he hears...
A direction.
A direction. Now he knows the direction. So when he's alone in the room with Loretta Lynch and she gives a directive...
He didn't know.
I don't know what that means. But he's alone with Trump. Now he knows. Okay. It's interesting. He knows and he doesn't know.
Huh. Fascinating.
Now, wait a minute. There may be a way for us to get to the bottom of what he knows and what he doesn't know.
Pray tell.
Who do you think he likes better? Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton?
Mm.
Who does wife vote for? We can probably figure this one out.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And that might explain the chasm between knowing and not knowing certain things. Huh. Connect those dots. Then it becomes a kind of coincidence between a guy who's the head of the FBI and doesn't know what Loretta Lynch is talking about, and then a guy who knows exactly what Trump is talking about. Now, I'm not saying he shouldn't have known what Trump was saying. He should have known what Trump was saying and then just used the exact same measuring stick and measure what Loretta Lynch is saying, which is being a human, which is I have an agenda. So when he says I don't know, he's lying. Yes?
Yeah.
Is that lying in your mind?
It's an interesting question. It's a distortion. And if
for
a distortion
guy at that
is lying,
level, yeah, at that level, when somebody is, says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take this and I want you to change it.
Is it conscious lying? Is that your question?
He's lying.
Okay. Yeah.
He's saying, I don't know when he does know.
Yeah.
He know what Loretta Lynch wanted.
Yeah.
She was in the camp of Clinton and she wanted a favor.
Yeah.
And he didn't know what she was talking about. Which is a lie, because he doesn't want to get Clinton and Loretta Lynch. He doesn't want to throw all them under the bus.
Right.
He's going after – his ire's for Trump.
Right.
So when he gets questions about Loretta Lynch, like, yeah, I don't know. When he gets to Trump, all of a sudden, laser focus.
All right. Fair enough.
Right?
Yep.
Okay. He's lying. Came across like a sauce, as we would say.
A sauce? What does sauce mean?
Sauce is a high school – no. Pop Warner football thing, like the guy who was like doubled over. He goes, I got a cramp. I'm running wind sprints. Like, sauce. Come on, sauce. You never had sauces?
That's awesome.
Gary, look up sauce.
It's a local lingo.
Yeah.
Here's some lingo. Trips you might not know. True car. Remove some excess weight from your car to improve mileage. Place your key fob under your chin to increase its range. And another tip you might not know is True car helps people with used cars as well as new cars. With a True Car certified dealer network and a nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars. As always, you'll enjoy real pricing on actual inventory, simpler buying experience. Whether you're buying new or used, you'll see what others paid, so you know you're getting a good price. You lock in that price. See the scattergram. You also get the true price. You know exactly what all the fees are going to be. You also will know that you've locked in a vehicle that exists on a True Car certified dealer's lot. And you'll know the price is competitive because those True Car certified dealers want your business and they compete amongst themselves. You will enjoy a faster buying experience by connecting with True Car certified dealers. So when you're ready to buy new or used, again, over 1 million used cars in inventory, check out True Car and you will enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
Well, we don't know, Drew.
I don't know.
You don't know. All right. I want to thank you guys for checking in with us. You go to adamcarolla.com. You find out live shows coming up everywhere. Stand-up and pods and all that good stuff. And chassis. Lots of good stuff to look at chassy.com. Drew, what do you got?
Drew.com for all the family pods there.
So, until next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.